Today we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk a little bit about keeping your marriage fresh. Now I realize I've got widows in here, but you know what? You can have fun today too. You're married to another. You're married to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, this applies to that just as much as it applies to anything else. I'll tell you that right now. In your lives, what you've got is this. Our marriages in America are falling apart. And I tell you, I've talked about this very thing just time and time again in our Sunday school class over there. Our marriages in America are falling apart specifically because the job's too hard. Okay? Now, it's too hard if you don't want to do the job. If it becomes something you enjoy to do and something that you like to do, then your job becomes, it's not such a bad task. It becomes a fun job. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that marriage is all great, okay? Because my wife and I, we struggle. And if you say for one time that you don't struggle, you're lying to me. There's nobody that doesn't have struggles here and there. That happens. It's okay. As a matter of fact, I enjoy the struggles that my wife and I have a little bit more than I should probably. I enjoy the little fights and the little tiffs that we have. I enjoy that kind of thing. Now you say, why would you enjoy that kind of thing? You know what? It keeps spunk. It keeps spirit. And I tell you, I don't know how I'd take it if she would be all quiet all the time. I don't know how I would take that. You know, I was sure she'd be trading up for me or something if she's all of a sudden been quiet. So I talked about this a little bit, and Brother Porter taught in my class last week, and he did a great job telling us five don'ts that you're not supposed to do, and all of those he was guilty of. And it's fun to talk about those things. And to teach on marriage, I found one thing out for sure. You open yourself up, especially to your wife, you open yourself up to say, hey, you don't fit some of the things that you're teaching in your class. And that's the truth. I don't fit a lot of the things I'm teaching, but I'm trying to do better in those things every single week. So I want to talk to you this morning about keeping marriage fresh. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 7 for the first one. There's four of them that we're going to have this morning, and we're going to have a good time this morning. So let's go ahead and start out with a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started. Brother Phil, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please? The first thing, how to keep a marriage fresh, and when I say keep a marriage fresh, how do you do that? How do we make it so we're married for years and years and years and you still sit close to each other? How do you keep it so? And you know what? A lot of times, folks, well, I don't want you to get intimate in your Sunday school class. You know, that's a problem, because I think that preachers need to teach how you stay that way and how you stay close to your wife and how you stay, because I'm going to be honest with you. It's a sad thing to see when couples just become friends. It's a sad thing to see when couples, you know, they're just happy to not do anything. You know, I think it becomes a point in your marriage where you have to continue to court your spouse either way. Even if you're 85 years old, Bud and Marty, you should still be willing to court each other. You still should be willing to act like you're still trying to get a hold of her. Brother Bud, it still should be a time when you remember when you sneaked the hand holding when mom and dad wasn't looking. That's the kind of thing that you should still be wanting to do. And I got news for you. It's not an easy thing. See, in this day and age, if you stay and give your TV more time than you ought to, all you're going to see on there is other opportunities in your mind. All you're going to see in this world today is other things that you can be looking at, both male and female. You'll see things that you ought not be looking at. You see things that, wow, makes your mind wander. I remember that the preachers used to get hammered real hard on soap operas. I got news for you. Those haven't gone away. And you look at those things and you look at how they're leading their lives. And boy, I would like to have that life where I wake up in the morning and my husband looked like he's just been perfectly groomed all night long. You know, I got news for you. Everybody in this room, when you wake up in the morning, you've got bad breath. I don't care who you are. When you wake up in the morning, you need a mint. You need a toothbrush, and no matter who you are. So I know that the life that they try to feed you in Hollywood and all those things, it looks like a glamorous life, but it's not the life I desire to lead. I desire to lead a life where my wife and I work together to become better than we were the day before. And I've got news for you. I love my wife dearly when we got married, but I love her more today. And it's not even a close match. It's a different type of love. Brother Porter made this statement last week in Sunday school class that he didn't really fall in love with his wife until much later after they got married. And you know, when I first heard that, he said this years ago. When I first heard that, I said, man, that's kind of a weird statement to make. You didn't fall in love with your wife till later. But you know what? It's true. I didn't truly fall in love with my wife into a point where I literally could not live without her until later. I mean, I'm to a point now, and we'll get into this in a second. I'm to a point now where she's got to be my wife. I can't have another wife. We've worked too hard to get to where we are for me to have another wife. You know what I mean? And the folks that have been married much longer than I, Bud, I'm sure you understand. Bud, I don't know how you'd live without Marty. It seems like a simple thing. But I told my Sunday school classes over, today divorce is not a bad word. It's not an ugly word. It's so common. And I'm not gonna harp upon divorce today, but let me give you this real quickly. You better search out the spouse that God has for you, no matter what. And if you're raising kids, make sure that they search out the spouse that God has for you. Because if you don't, you may end up in a terrible situation where you're not with the one you're supposed to be with. And if God brings you together, then who in the world could take you apart? Amen. Now, when we talk about keeping marriage fresh, a lot of folks say, well, the old gray mare, she just ain't what she used to be. You couldn't keep up with that filly the way she used to be anyways. And by the way, look in the mirror, because you're not the same fella you used to be. That's a good response there, Marty. I like that. I don't care, Brother Bud. You're still good looking. I don't care. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Chapter 7 of Matthew. We're going to talk about four techniques. Four techniques of keeping your marriage fresh. And I will do my best to keep them short. The mirror technique is number one. The mirror technique. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now that's scary enough. Because if your wife would judge you, sometimes the way you judge your wife, that'd be a scary thought. I'm going to tell you right now, my wife is beautiful. I'm here to tell you. But I believe my wife is beautiful. I'm telling you, I she is. And what's hilarious is if I would sit there and say, well, honey, you're just not, you're getting older, you know, things happen. You know what's funny? If she would just say, hey, look in the mirror. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You've got a problem with somebody else, you better make sure you look at yourself first. And I'm going to tell you, you could avoid a lot of fights in your marriage if you would dial in yourself first. If you would talk about what kind of shortcomings do you have? I got news for you. I've got 35 more shortcomings for every one of hers. I've got problems. Living with a preacher is bad enough, amen? Debbie's not saying anything, but she's thinking it. And by the way, as soon as I talked about sitting close to each other, Rod put his arm around her. He didn't want to get picked on this morning, but too late. See, you live a life. In this day and age, and this is true, how you look tells people who you are, okay? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how you say, well, I am who I am, doesn't matter. No, you are who you look like you are. You see a person walk around in a suit, two things, either a businessman or a Christian. That's your choices, okay? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? What you've got to understand is this. To your spouse, do you look like who you are? Okay, now what does that mean? It means, did you take the time to look in the mirror at who you are before you go after who you think your spouse is trying to be? Or do you think, before you go after your wife for something she's not, do you look in the mirror at yourself first? Like a lot of times my wife and I fight. Now, hey, you can say what you want to say. Skivers discuss loudly. Every one of them. David Richard, Tammy Lynn. Uncle Joe, you've been with him for so many years, I guarantee you'll agree with me, we don't have a quiet conversation. Doesn't happen. There's times when you walk in the house and we're having a good time talking, you think we're killing each other in there. Okay? We talk loudly.
And whoever's the loudest wins. That's the whole nine yards. Whoever, and by the way, the preacher, 9 times out of 10, pulls it off in the end. I'm not kidding. Okay? And it's what we could be talking about baseball at one end of the table, about a sewing class at the other end of the table, and those conversations will battle until one of them gives in submission. So a lot of times, a good friend of mine, Bobby Shell, is always with us. And I'm sure that they go home and laugh because my wife and I talk loudly. Well, you're fighting. No, we are talking loudly. Okay? And I've learned as a Ballard, I came in certainly not as loud as everyone else. Okay? But it changed me quickly because I was going to be heard. Okay? And to be heard in our house, you've got to be vocal. You've got to be loud no matter what. Pass me the potatoes! That's about what it is. Now, you might say, well, that's a crazy thing. And this is the one thing that I've taught that I think is more important than anything else. Brother Bud, you and Marty, Bill, you are different. Your marriage is different than my marriage. My marriage is different than your marriage. Neither one of them are wrong. Okay? There is no one set formula for having a good marriage, by the way. And if people stand up here and tell you, well, bless God, there's a godly way to have marriage. There is a godly way to do things, but I got news for you. It differs in every couple. Some things that people have trouble with, other people don't. Some things that people don't have trouble with, we do. Now, there's the same few things that trouble each other, but I got news for you. If you look in the mirror, most of the time, you can find the problem staring you in the face in your marriage. Most of the time, you see, I'll get to the list technique here in a second, but most of the time, the things that go wrong in our household, I've got something to do with. I may not be the only one that's got something to do with, but I've got something to do with somewhere along the line. The way you spend your money, the way you aren't patient enough with your spouse, the way that you believe that she ought to be a supermodel walking down the aisle all the time, yet you can sit and gorge your face every single night, be a fat boy, and you expect her to stay with you. Okay? Doesn't work that way. My wife works out every single day. I work in every single day. Okay? Now, and I'm going to be honest with you, I believe I'm wrong. Because I should want to look my best for her. You got to get a hold of this now. You should desire for your wife or your husband, you should have a desire to want to look your best. You should, and then you go, oh, that's physical, that's vain. No. No. Everybody likes a barn that's got some paint on it. Better than a barn that does not. It just doesn't matter what you say or how you... Well, she should make herself up for me. It doesn't matter what I look like. I got news for you. It does matter what you look like. And I'm going to tell you, the girl will say, it's not the same for girls. Okay, let me become a fat porpoise and then let her talk. I mean, become more of a fat porpoise than I already am. It does make a difference. You should desire... By the way, it makes you feel better when you look good. It makes you feel better. And half of the battle in a marriage is how you feel about yourself. And that's a sad statement to say, but it's true. If you don't feel good about you, the marriage is not going to be good. And by the way, what one of us is perfect enough that we can sit there and say how bad we are? Okay? I'm going to tell you right now. I believe, and I really believe this with all my heart. I believe my wife and I will have no problem staying together for our whole life. And I would love to be sitting in church someday as Brother Bud and Marty, or Brother Bill and Louise, or Brother Carl and Mary,
Well, I guarantee you, saying sorry in a fight, that'll keep your marriage fresh. How many of you have ever made up from a fight in here? Man, isn't that good? You say what you want to say. Well, that's sick. No, it isn't. It's not. Why is that sick? You made up from a fight. That's great. I'll tell you, those are some great times. And there's nothing wrong with having the fight as long as you realize, you know what? At the end of this fight, we're still going to be together. We're still going to be a team. The second thing, the mirror technique is number one. Number two is the list technique. Now, I have fun with this one because my wife, before we were married, my wife made a list, okay? And what, it had 35 things on it, hon? You liar, you remember. 35 things. Wait a minute, mirror technique. She's not lying. Okay, but 35 things I think she had on her list. And what's great is, did I fill all of them? Come on, tell me. Did I fill all of them? Yes, I did. There's very few things I remember, but I remember that. She had a list of 35 things on there. And by the way, we actually taught this to the teenagers because I think this is very important. If there's something that you need to have feel you need to have in a spouse, I think you should do that. I think you should make a list and say, hey, if he's not number one, if he's not a Christian, we're not getting married. I'm not even date this guy. If he's not a Christian, we're not dating. If he's not a Christian, we're not even getting past step one. Okay, so there's things that she had on the list, and regardless if I filled them all or not, I filled her list the most completely she had found yet. Since then, I've probably fallen off a few of those, I'm sure.
This is what I want to tell you about a list, though. When you're getting ready to get mad at your spouse, and I've heard people tell me before when I've discussed marriage with some folks, they say, you know what, I'm falling out of love, or I don't. Here's the thing that you need to do. You need to make a list of all the good things that your spouse does for you. Okay? And I guarantee you, by the time you get done with the list, if you would be honest, by the time you get done with the list, you'd be a lot happier with your spouse. See, you can make a list of the things that they do that make you mad, but I guarantee you the list of making you mad is a lot shorter than the list of making you happy. And if I would make a list, this is just a few things. My wife loves me. She loves me for who I am. You need to get a hold of that now. If you look at yourself and use the first technique in the mirror, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you find a girl that can love that. That's a good list starter right there. Okay? She loves me for who I am. I've got 7 suits in my closet, of which 2 still fit me. I stepped on the scale the other day. It's the worst I've ever seen. The thing kept just spinning. And I'm going to tell you right now, she tells me all the time, I love you. And I know she does. She gave me one of the greatest cards I've ever. the fact of how much she loves you, how much she cares about you, how much he loves you. I don't know how to show love. I'm a man. I don't know how to show love. You need to learn how to show it. I don't use that. That's not an excuse for me. I'm not good at it. Get good at it, dummy. You're missing out on so much by not being able to show your affection to your spouse. And I'm telling you, I'm not the greatest at it, but I do my best. The other day, in a dishwasher, and I don't care, the dishwasher, I left just a little note. I love you, honey. And she says, good thing I opened it up. The soap wasn't there. I knew she couldn't, but it was stuck under the soap thing, and she had lifted up and said, I love you, honey. Oh, okay. And you might think, well, Brother Dave, I can't believe you're doing it. You seem like a tough. I consider myself a tough guy. But I got news for you. You're more of a man by showing your affection than you are not showing it. Did you know that? And by the way, if you don't show your affection, what are you showing your affection to? Oh. You don't have to show your affection to another woman to have your affection go out to somebody other than your spouse or something other than your spouse. What do you love doing more than anything else? That's what you're showing your affection towards instead of your spouse. I said, Brother Dave, you're meddling. You need to be meddled with. You need this. I need this. The one thing I've learned more about marriage, been teaching marriage for the last few weeks, is the simple fact that I need to work on it. I look through these scriptures and I see how these husbands are treating their wives with dignity, holding them up as Christ would hold them up as queens. And what's amazing is I have been treating mine like a pauper for years. That's the way it is. You've got to learn to say, hey, you know what? What does my wife, what does my spouse do for me? And you say, well, what can I teach Johnny about marriage? He's not married yet. I got news for you. Johnny, you need to seek out a spouse that fits these things. That you can make a list of someday that says, you know what? She does so much for me. I can't even imagine being without her. If your spouse does your laundry for you, I got news for you, man. Hold on to her. The type of laundry we turn in, fellas, woo! Them and gave them back to me. You know, there's things that we do, man. We're pigs, man. We are real pigs sometimes, and we just throw our clothes right down the hamper. Maybe she'll take care of it. And we're gonna get mad at this person. What if she left our laundry just like it was for weeks? What if she didn't do the things that she's supposed to do for us? What? You take what you do, take what you take for granted every single day about your spouse. Take what you take for granted, Debbie. I know Rod does something for you. Take what you take for granted and list it one time. What things that happen every single day. Things that, you know what, Brother Bud, you get up in the morning, she might make an egg, a muffin. If she does that for you, don't take that for granted. Understand that these are things that they do to make your life complete. Did you realize that, and I've said this before, men can't be alone according to Scripture. Women, fortunately for them, can make it without us, and probably sometimes be happier for it. But I've got news for you. If you would make a list of the things that your spouse does for you, and I don't care what they're, I'm sure everyone's list would be different. The top on my list is my wife loves me. The second thing on my list is my wife helps me to strive to be a better preacher. Okay? She desires for me to be the best I can be. She desires for me to work harder, to do more, to be better for God. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't put a price on that. You might say, well, you know what? Of course your wife's going to want you to do that. That's the dumbest thing. That's the dumbest thing. Of course you're going to. I don't know about that. There's some people who don't care. And I said this a few weeks ago. That's the one attitude before the divorce right there. When you don't care anymore. That's the last step before the divorce. You might say, well, hatred is the last. No, it's not. Hatred is another form of love. I hate to say it. It's the other side of love. It's sad. But you're not going to divorce somebody you hate. You're going to divorce somebody you don't care if you're going to put out anymore. How do you keep your marriage fresh? You make them listen how, and you realize how much she adds or what he adds to your life. I'm not complete without her. I'm not. The third thing, the mirror technique. The list technique. What's the third thing? What's the third?
The staying after it technique. And this is the courting each other continuously. Continuously making her realize that you still want to be her man. Making him realize that you still want to be his gal. Putting on perfume and putting on a little makeup from day to day to make sure that you look nice when your husband comes home. Fellas, combing your hair once in a while and taking a shower once in a while to make yourself smell halfway decent when your lady sees you again. Making sure that you do your best to take her out to dinner or court her as you would court her when you were trying to win her. And when you're trying to get her as your wife, or you're trying to get, you should do that for the rest of your life. That should not be something that stops. It should be every single day of trying to be together and desiring to be together and saying, you know what, without her, I'm incomplete. I know that, so I'm going to court her continuously, letting her realize how much that you love her and care for her. I'm amazed. You heard that one story where the couple is sitting in a truck. And when they first started going together, they sat right next to each other. Everywhere they went, right next to each other. Oh, it was just great. Their life was wonderful. Over the years, they decided, they started moving apart. And one night, the girl's crying inside the car. She's weeping. You don't sit next to me anymore. You don't love me anymore. We don't do things together anymore. What is wrong? And the guy looks over and says, I'm not the one that moved. Here's the funny thing about that, though. Did he have his arm open up for her to be here? Grab all of this now. Do you hear? I desire to have people see my wife. Because I can't believe I've got something like her. She hates this kind of stuff, by the way. I'm amazed that she sat in this class this long. She hates sappiness. I do too. It's the worst. But I'm going to tell you, you can't get around to teach about marriage. I desire to show off my wife to people. I desire them to see her. She's a good-looking girl, man. And what? And me? Are you kidding me? And it's what's great is if I can live my life still getting after her, still wanting to be with her, desiring to be with her, even physically. Don't talk about that in church. No, you really live. You need to hear this. You need to keep after it physically with your spouse. You need to want to smooch. You need to want to desire to be together physically. Oh, you're just getting sick now. Is that sick to you? You got a problem. Well, this is the right place. I'm going to tell you right now, God's ordained that it's okay to do this, and you should do this. You should have a decent marriage. You should want to be together physically. I don't care what you tell me, and I'm being nice. You should desire to have that type of relationship. You should desire that, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't desire it at home, they'll desire it somewhere else. That's why Paul talked about, hey, it's better to marry than to burn. And that's talking about burning in hell. It's talking about burning in lust. If you don't stay together and don't go after each other physically, you will burn in lust towards something. And that's not right. You should burn in lust towards one another, even this long. Even, I don't care, Bud Marty, I'm going to keep picking on you, but you should still desire to be with her. Amen. Hey, that's the one God's ordained for you. We can sit red-faced in here all you want, but this is what needs to happen in Christian homes. Our church is only as strong as our families are. And that is part of it. You cannot have a church full of single folk. Although I love our single folk, I'm thrilled with them. But you're not going to have a strong church with a bunch of single folk. You're going to have a strong church when you have a mixture of married, strong married couples helping single folk to get through their life. There's nothing wrong with being single. Please don't misread me. But our marriages are failing today because we're missing very important key elements of them. We've grown weary of the work. What do you mean, work, work? And my marriage isn't a work. Yes, it is. A marriage is a work that you both have to do the job. There's no way you can get around it. It's how fun you make the work and how fresh you keep the work that helps you through your marriage. I'm telling you, Annie, when I first started putting this together, I honestly can point to a half a dozen men in this room that are better husbands than I am. I'm not a great husband. Not. But you know what? As I started searching the scriptures to try to find marriage and try to find things out about it, you know what? Nobody's a very good husband. We've got to work on being a godly husband. Okay? It's what you do with the Lord in every aspect of your life. How you treat your wife as the Lord would have her to be treated. How you do things throughout your life that try to make your marriage better. The physical attraction is not enough. The emotional attraction is not enough. The mental attraction is not enough. It's got to be all those things. Did you know that? I'm sure that you do. Then the last one is the one flesh technique. Now get a hold of this. We've had the mirror technique, the list technique, the staying after technique, and the one flesh technique. The scripture says that we are to be one flesh. Okay? Living to love your mate with the realization that her flesh is your flesh and your flesh is her flesh. Now what does that mean? Real simply this. My wife has become part of me. For her to go would be an amputation. My wife has become part of my life in a way that if she was not to be with me anymore, it would literally be like cutting a part of my body off. And the Bible makes that stipulation, and I've lived it. And I told my class over there about this. I've lived this stipulation in the simple fact that about 3 years ago, I went down early to Florida. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was a bachelor for a couple of years before. I had it as many as you can make it as a bachelor, you know. And I had lived alone before, and I had no problem living alone. But you know what? I came to the realization of this. I went down to Naples. My daughter and I went down ahead of everybody else. Everybody else was flying in. You might not have this problem, but as pathetic as this is, I got to tell you about it. We were going down, and I got to the first place we stopped, and Natalie will tell you, we were up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get in until midnight. And we were back up at 4 o'clock in the morning traveling down the road. I didn't get a wink of sleep. So I keep going. We get down the floor. We get down to the condo. We're thrilled. We're tired. I'm exhausted. I mean, I am exhausted from driving. We pull into this condo. I get Natalie all situated. I said, here, honey, we just had Cracker Bell. I hope you're okay. Watch TV. I'm going to bed. Okay, Dad. 25, 30 minutes of rolling around, I figured out I'm not sleeping again that night. Big king-size bed, by the way. Real comfortable. Big king-size bed. We one more night sleeping. Tammy's coming in the next day. Okay. So I'm trying to sleep again. Again, another night. If I caught a half an hour sleep, I was lucky. It didn't dawn on me what was happening. And you guys might not be like this, but this is a downfall for me. I'm laying in the bed, tossing and turning. Finally get up. Tammy comes in the next night. I slept like a baby. I woke up the next morning and said, hey, what has changed? And I rolled over and I said, good morning, honey. She said, oh, brush your teeth. And I said, you know what? I have literally become a man that is dependent on my wife's presence. I have become somebody that when the Bible says she is flesh of your flesh, I couldn't go to sleep that night because my flesh was missing. Part of me was not there. It's not that I'm not tough. I can sleep when she, as long as she starts, we're in the same place when we start sleeping, I'm fine. She can get up. But if I go to sleep and she's not there, I'm kicking my blanket, throwing it over, scrunching the pillow, come to bed. What's amazing is I've started to live my life realizing that I am not the same without my wife. I am not complete without my wife with me. And if spouses would get a hold of this, well, I don't need you anymore. Yes, you do. You do need her. You've got to be with her. She's got to be with you. There can't be a tie on your part. Because she is part of you. It's almost like walking without a leg. It's almost like living without your torso. She's flesh of your flesh. This is what's good about that, Annie. And by the way, I've experienced this too. Remember when we did that real life special thing for Joanna Lacey? Remember that? Do you know who was happiest? Dr. Allen. Do you know why? Because you made him feel good by taking care of her. Why is that? Why wouldn't I want a present? It was his present. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be over here today. And Lord, I know that the message maybe didn't affect everybody. It maybe wasn't pertinent to everybody. But Lord, you know what? I believe that this is good teaching in every step of life. I just think treating other people well is something that you'd have us to do. Lord, please be with us in a special way. Lord, I really do think of our widows, Lord. Please be with them and comfort them. Lord, I think of the ones that are having trouble in their marriage right now. Lord, please be with them. I don't know what I'd do without my spouse next to me, Lord. Please comfort the ones that may be having a tough time right now. Please be with them. Lord, I thank you that you've given me a wonderful wife. And Lord, I pray that I don't ever take that lightly. I pray that I learn from what I'm teaching myself. And I turn out to be a better husband than I am. Help me. And Lord, help all of us. Help us through this time, Lord, that maybe we can be better Christians and better husbands and better spouses and better wives because of it. Help us, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.